Mets are talking about this.
Yeah, this is one of those things that everyone's been wondering about, but no one has had the stones to talk about.
I will talk about
it. I would love to talk about that with you.
Okay, the last segment.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
Remso, you're quite a funny guy. Very, very funny guy.
I try.
You're too well.
Okay, guys, 1 minute.
I wanted to start doing club stand-up, and then the whole world ended because of COVID. So funny.
He'll come back. He'll come back. I'll be fine. Be just fine.
Yeah, with every late night improv thing now having like only 5 people, I could deal with 5 people not laughing at me. If I had like a whole group of people,
by the time in 2 years' time, it'll be like this never happened.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Okay, and as we wait on Rob Kendall, we might as well start. I want to welcome everyone to the world according to Ben Stein. I want to thank everybody that's watching on YouTube, listening, our faithful.
We appreciate it very much. We appreciate it very, very much.
Every show I got, but this one particularly, I really want to give a big shout out to Rock Breath, who is a big source of help to us. And I really want to thank everybody. But of course, let's welcome in On the Run with Remso Martinez, antique collector, wine connoisseur, cat collector.
What? Who is Remso, a cat collector?
Remso Martinez.
How many cats have you got, Remso?
2. Apparently, that's considered excessive in some places.
That's not
I never knew that.
At all. I mean, no.
Ben used to have 7 around here. And of course, my wife did.
I wouldn't have 1. Yeah.
And of course, the show wouldn't be complete without America's
humble servant.
No, but I was gonna go more than that. You've been a shoe salesman. You worked for the FTC,
Federal Trade Commission. Yes,
you're the son of the great legend, of course, Herbert Stein. You're an actor.
I was a teacher at American U, teacher at UC Santa Cruz, teacher at Pepperdine. And had a lot of fun doing it. I was a trial lawyer. I've done an expert witness in dozens and dozens of securities law cases. I've done everything you can imagine to try to keep my furbile brain occupied. God bless you, sir.
And of course,
here comes a handsome gentleman
Stein
coming onto the set.
Let's welcome in, last but not least, host of the Mock and Rob Show on 93.1. Bam! The future of conservative talk radio. Rob Kendall, welcome back, Rob.
Judah, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I got the call letters correct, right?
Perfect. 93.1 WIBC in Indianapolis. Yes.
And does anybody get that reference? 99. The Bam. The future of Rain Man. 97X. Bam. The future of rock and roll. And I want to welcome everybody, of course, to the world according to Ben Stein. And we're trying to have a little levity tonight when it's extremely hard to have levity. We're gonna give our gratitude towards the president tonight. We're gonna give our thanks to the president. But I was on the phone a week ago, and I don't remember who it was, and it's gonna drive me crazy, but they gave me one of the most brilliant points without flushing it out, I should say. And I was in the car with Ben and we were doing the flushing out of it, but they had compared President Trump to the Shah of Iran and to the toppling of it and to the, but the part they didn't bring up was the Ayatollahs and the totalitarianism that took place after that.
And violent, horrible totalitarian cruelty and viciousness.
And 40 years later of devastation by Jimmy Carter's, probably the worst president of all time as far as foreign policy goes, Ben. And you were on the streets of Washington when they were trying. And I want people to understand this about the Shah. Compared to every other leader in that nation, in that part of the world, he was, by all metrics, an upstanding citizen.
Prince. It was a brand. I'd say it's an interesting thing. Washington, D.C. has a beautiful mosque. It's if recollection serves, it's on Massachusetts Avenue, right next to Rock Creek Parkway, right above it. And there used to be demonstrators in favor of the Ayatollahs against the Shah day after day after day after day after day. And also on the signs, they would say something like death to Israel and also death to the United States of America. And I remember saying to my bride, my wifey, we've been together since 1966, honey, I don't think these guys are going to be good for us. But Jimmy Carter thought better of it. And when they were challenging the Shah, the Shah called up Mr. Carter, or whoever was in charge, and said, I think we should just machine gun the demonstrators and put them back in their cages. And Carter said, oh, no, they'll be fine. They'll be easy to work with. Didn't turn out that way.
And just so people understand that are just tuning in and just listening, we were talking about the comparison between Trump and the Shah. But people don't understand this. The Shah, all that means is king, right? Right. He was the king. And he pissed off the Iranian clerics. They didn't like the way he was pro-woman. He was pro-business. He was pretty much
very good to Israel.
He was good to Israel.
Yeah. People used to say, well, wait a minute. Where does Israel get its oil? I mean, Israel had a highly mechanized army, very, very superb air force, modern industrial country. Where do they get their oil? They got it from Iran. And believe me, the mullahs are not selling any oil to Israel now.
And Rob Kendall, what we're left with now, in my humble opinion, and I brought this up last show, is that scene from the U.S. Embassy as it was taken over, and that Muslim woman speaking in front of it, giving demands of what they will do to release the hostages. One of them was give back the Shah so we could kill him, but all the other things. And that almost, I put AOC into that picture of giving a list of demands of what Trump supporters can do to get out of the purgatory they're going to impose on us, Rob.
It's funny, we were talking about this today on the air. You know, like when you see a Jim Carrey movie or a Will Ferrell movie or an Adam Sandler movie, and they're the serious movies they do, and they're hard to watch because the whole time you want to laugh at them. Like, you look at their face, and no matter what they're doing, they're serious acting, you want to laugh at them. And I feel the same way with her. It's like she's giving these demands about, you know, again, the stuff about like Ted Cruz and Holly and all these people that should resign, and you want to laugh at her, but you realize she thinks she's being serious.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I was just explaining to someone, I love hairdressers. I absolutely love them. I think they're some of the nicest, kindest, smartest people in the world. She, I believe, used to be a waitress, very smart, fine waitresses, and a hairdresser. Those jobs take a lot more intelligence than what she's doing.
And considering she was a bartender. But again, it's really, so for Remzo, you being the youngest in the demographic, what's going on? And what is your take on this, Rems?
Remzo, let us have it.
What, the CIA got rid of both the Shah and Trump?
Oh my God, wow.
Remzo gets the award for the night.
Close to the bone, my friend, wow.
Yeah, Remzo, I gotta give it to you.
Wow.
Just ripped the Band-Aid off now. Yeah. We've all seen Argo. Yeah. We remember that scene of Ben Affleck. Why are we here again? I don't know, it has something to do with oil.
Says sadly, about 50% of that movie was made up. But it was still a great movie nonetheless. But Remzo raises a great point, but I want us to bring up a point that somebody brought up in chat about Obama. And as much as I can't stand him and his hatred towards Israel and his destruction in that region, nobody comes close to Jimmy Carter. And I got to even be honest, Obama doesn't come close to GW, okay, as far as creating chaos and havoc in the Middle East. But that's just
I disagree.
The Bush family or the A-team when it comes to that.
But anyways, Ben Stein, we digress. And with the toppling of President Trump right now, what do you see happening to his supporters?
Well, I hope nothing bad because I am one of them. And you are my very, very, very dear friend, and you are one of them. Remzo, likewise.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
I assume you are too, Mr. Kendall. I don't know what to say. I will tell you, I think my career is going to be extremely adversely affected by it. I think the incredibly lush life that my wife and I have gotten used to over the years is going to be gone. We're going to be living a much more modest lifestyle. It's scary, but I think it's got to happen. And I don't know. I don't know what else is going to happen. I have the feeling that the days of America as a free country are pretty much over, at least for some time. I mean, we are now being run by a clique of people in corporate America and in the media and in politics who do not believe in freedom, who do not believe in free speech, and just generally do not believe in freedom. And that's why that scares me to death.
Rob Kendall, what are your callers telling you?
So it was interesting tonight, our governor, Eric Holcomb, who is a pretend Republican, he has an R next to his name. We have dubbed him High Tax Holcomb, gave his State of the State speech tonight. And it was about massive growth of government. It was about projects funded by billions of dollars of tax increase. And you look around and you see almost no objection from the state legislature, which is super majorities Republican. So you have a pretend Republican governor, a pretend Republican legislature. People elect these people based on what they said they're going to do. They go and do the exact opposite. And so I don't know what the answer is and where it comes from in the Republican Party, given the viciousness that's being thrown at people like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. They're trying to completely ostracize those people. And the Republican Party appears being okay with being just slightly more conservative than Democrats in the establishment wing. So I don't know where conservatives go if a new party has to form, if it's looking to the libertarians, but it certainly isn't in the Republican Party right now.
It's a very, very alarming situation. I was saying to one of my friends this morning, I was working for Mr. Nixon actually at the White House when he was kicked out of office for doing exactly nothing wrong. And it was a paradise in those days compared to now. The very day that I was called up by my friend and yours, Mr. Rumsfeld, and told I was going to be dismissed, that was when I was working for Mr. Ford, I had four job offers by the end of the business day. I don't think anything like that could possibly happen now to Trump people. I think they would be radioactive. Nobody would want to come near them. I think it's a world that's grown exponentially in viciousness.
Remzo, let me ask you a question. You being the libertarian of the bunch
youngest.
You know, the youngest.
I'm only seven.
But the wisest and sometimes and the most helpful. And Remzo, you're a libertarian. Isn't it the job? Could it become now the job of the Libertarian Party to speak up and say, stop, enough? Are there enough strong voices in your party to stop the canceling and to stop the animus and anger that is going against Trump supporters?
No.
That's good. That's good. I like that, Remzo. We love you because you give an honest, straightforward answer. That's great. I love
I get two answers out of Remzo tonight: no and the CIA. I love that.
There's a reason why I voted for Trump, because I'm not just standing outside screaming reefer madness. We got to go ahead and bring the troops home. It's because it gets to the point now where this is the really sad thing. You put five libertarians in a room and they're all gonna go ahead and call each other not libertarians. But here's the real thing, and I've seen this through the Trump years, and this is the one thing that I will say I am kind of glad to see leaving. It wasn't necessarily that there was a large, loud movement for free market enterprise. He was not the best when it came to gun laws. He wasn't great when it came to a lot of civil liberties that matter to me. And as I said a few weeks ago, and as a lot of people like to call me, a motherfucker, here's the thing. The people that stormed the Capitol, they weren't really doing it because they were, screaming for limited government. They were doing it because the president lost someone who I wanted to win, someone who I voted for, and they were kind of pissed at it. And Rudy Giuliani.
I say they're doing it because they're crazy.
Some were. The Q people were. I think a lot of people there were mad. But like I said a few weeks ago, it's like when you've got Rudy Giuliani and a whole bunch of these grifters trying to hold to stop the Steele rally the day of the Electoral College certification in both chambers of Congress. It's at the point where it's like, how do you not know you're being played, man? Go to work, hug your kids, play
what
some
do you
golf.
Do? You can't go to work by storming an office building. I mean, you go to work by campaigning really hard. We did that. We lost the election anyway. Was it stolen from us? it looks to me like it was, but I don't have conclusive evidence. But storming the Capitol was the absolutely most idiotic move there could possibly have
you
done.
See, this is, I happen to disagree with both of you on this.
Well, I will say, wrap up, you've got more people on both the right wing and the left wing that just want to control this giant monopoly of violence we call government. And you've got a very small group of libertarians that are looking at this saying, maybe nobody should be in charge of that. And I find myself in that minority.
And by the way, just so you know, I disagree with you both firmly on this. You had a protest. It got a little out of whack. But comparatively speaking to what the rest of the country has been doing for the last year, this doesn't rank at all what they did.
The people who did those riots and the looting and the arson and so forth did not do it in such a way as to destroy the Republican Party. Some Democrat had written a script for the demonstrators and said, now follow this script and you're sure to ruin the Republican Party, they couldn't have done much better than they did.
People
who are demonstrating did no good at all for the Republican Party.
This is the great lie that's been told, right? If Trump would have done this differently, he would have been liked. If Republicans would do this, they would be like, no matter what happened, they would have figured out a way to kneecap us and Trump.
People who did the ultimate kneecapping were the demonstrators, the people who broke into the Capitol.
Didn't do anybody any good at all.
There was no utility to it at all.
I have to humbly disagree with you. It was a utility for them. That's great.
You know what? For a couple hundred people and right. destroying them.
But let me ask you a question.
So, in America.
So the response that they've been given, comparatively speaking to what BLM and Antifa have done for the past year, is nothing. It's not on the same level.
That's a hell of a comparison to make. I mean, BLM is a very low standard of decency. I don't think we need to
But your metric. That should have, if a scriptwriter came in, that should have destroyed the Democrat Party.
No, of course not, because nothing can destroy the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party is owned by the media, and the media owns the Democrat Party, and the media owns everything. And so there's nothing the Republicans can do except behave like choir boys for a long time, or choir girls.
You know what? And that's the point that day is they're done hanging out and being like choir boys.
I found this island in the Galapagos that you could buy for like $50. And I think I'm going to go there and just be like Robinson Crusoe and watch everything just go downhill.
And where are you going to go?
There's a small island you can buy in the Galapagos. There are a bunch of like Japanese soldiers apparently still running around from World War II.
It'd be pretty old.
Rob, you've been quiet, Rob. I'll let you get in before we go to break.
Well, you all seen the movie Animal House?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Remember at the end of Animal House?
We're not communists, Rob.
Where they decide what they're going to do at the end, and they go, they're going to get us no matter what we do. We might as well go out with a bang. Certainly, violence should never, ever happen. But the point is, look at what they did to Trump. Trump tells people, go home. And then people are mad because he mentions the election when he tells people to go home. He tells people, go home and be peaceful. They ban him. They ban him off Twitter. Like, what else is he supposed to do?
I'm not blaming Trump. Robert, I'm not blaming Trump. I said immediately, the first thing I did, I got my very good friend, Judah, who's a wizard on the internet, to get the speech word for word that Trump gave on the Ellipse. I read it in my car, which he was driving because he doesn't trust me to drive my car. And there was not one word about violence. And in fact, he said, I want you to go up there and be peaceful. Just not one word about it. Didn't matter at all to the media. They still just told one lie after another.
That's my point, Ben.
Violence.
That's my point. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We are a lively bunch tonight, which is great. And Remzo, please tell people where they can find us.
Never sleep and everything becomes livelier. You can go ahead and subscribe to the show. Hit the bell icon so that way you get a notification whenever we go live or upload new content. You can go ahead and find us on MeWe. It's another social media platform. You just put two words together, put it on the internet, and it exists now. You can find us on MeWe at Ben Stein, on Facebook at The World According to Ben Stein. And please Leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It costs you nothing, but means everything to us. Helps us get on those top trending charts. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family, your lovers, your haters, your strange uncle who doesn't have any teeth, the person on the metro who wanted to stab you the other day, the person that may or may not have COVID next door. Just share it.
Remzo is like a cross between P.T. Barnum and Vince McMahon. It's great.
That's the best compliment I've ever been given.
And you should put that on your, whatever your.
It's going to be the tagline everywhere now.
And if you, and I want to welcome back Rob Kendall. But Ben, something very important today that it can't go unnoticed is we speak about Republican spinelessness. But Mitch McConnell, I got to tell you, he wins the award of the century for Republican spinelessness and for his views on blaming Trump for the Capitol riot, and at the same time saying he's not sure which way he's going to vote.
I do not consider his behavior to be admirable in this case, obviously, but he's a human being. Human beings are selfish. He wants to preserve whatever he can from the flaming wreckage of the party at this point. And so this is what he's doing. I don't like it at all. I'm surprised and I'm disappointed. But this is the nature of humanity. My sister, a Democrat, but a super smart Democrat, said your basic human is not such a hot item. And I'm afraid that covers this.
Hey, Ben, can I ask you a question? Because we've talked about this on the air quite a bit. I think one of the things people need to keep in mind is that they're trying to ostracize people who voted for Trump and make you feel like, hey, you made a mistake and you recognize you made a mistake, but just admit what you did and come on over here and everything will be fine. Do you think people are falling for that, or are people just quietly very angry and recognize why they voted for Trump and just afraid to speak out?
The latter. I don't think they're afraid to speak out. I mean, everybody I know of who is a Trump fan is speaking out as well as he or she can. I mean, I have in my little circle of friends. Okay, I'm going to tell you something funny. One of my favorite comedians, one of my very 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 favorite comedians, and I think Judah knows his work far better than I do, is Chris Rock. And he has this funny line where he talks about how the Columbine school shooters, they made excuses for them. They said they had only two or three friends. And Chris Rock said, hell, I'm in my 40s and I'm a multimillionaire and I don't even have two or three friends. So my people out here are conservatives and Trump fans. We're just a very small little nucleus hang out at our house because for the time being, we can afford a very nice house and a very nice swimming pool. Won't last. We'll probably soon be in a homeless shelter. But my friends who are conservatives here, we make no bones about it. And we're not going to break into the Capitol. We're not going to break into anywhere. So we make no bones about it.
I got to be honest. I'm glad I wasn't there that day. I am very glad I wasn't there that day because
you would have broken.
You know,
into
the I got to be honest with you. My anger level towards what the media has done to Trump supporters and Trump himself for the past 4 years and the spineless Republicans that haven't come out and defended
him.
You know what?
Are you Buffalo guy?
What?
Are you Buffalo man?
Yes, I was not there.
Is that you?
I was not there. I would have been wearing this. It's Ben. I got to be honest with you. It's infuriating. They still think they
just lost your video feed, Judah.
I did lose my video feed.
Darn it, it's the CIA.
And they still think there's, and part of me still thinks that they think that there's a party that's coming. And
he's alive.
And that there's a party to come back to. And I don't see there being a party that Mitch McConnell, I mean, I'd rather have the libertarians in our party right now, Rob or Remzo, than I would Mitch McConnell or these, the Susan Collins, Murkowskis, who are all going to vote to impeach Trump and convict him.
We don't like them for doing that, but we have to stick by our
party. No, we don't. No, we don't. I disagree with you. They haven't stuck by us. Screw them. They have abandoned.
I do stick by them. The Republican Party has been very good to me, and I love them. I mean,
yes, but it hasn't been good.
Here, but I love them.
It hasn't been good to us, Remzo.
Remzo, yeah. You're being called on for a comment.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this is cocaine. This is cocaine, Mitch doing cocaine, Mitch stuff. I don't know why everyone's so surprised. Why do you think all the Republicans, as soon as they all won, all these incumbents are coming back, they're looking around, seeing all the bullets went elsewhere, and they see that Trump went down, and they're all watching him like, huh, it's that famous scene from Batman Begins. I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you either. This is them showing their true inclinations, and is anyone surprised? Because if you are, I've got some land in South Florida to sell you. It's a great deal.
I gotta tell you. What would you suggest, boys and girls? What would you have suggested they do?
You know what I would have suggested, Ben? I'll give you Ben, a four-step thing, and I spoke to you about this the other day. Immediately, when we knew mail-in balloting was so susceptible to fraud, Republicans should have come out screaming. The second but hear me out. The second election night came and we saw the fix was in. Republicans should have come out screaming. The second Trump started screaming about fraudulent ballots, Republicans should have grew a spine or something else and come out screaming. And once again in our lifetimes, they've George W. Bushed us and shut up and allowed themselves to get the crap kicked out of them. When you represent a party by proxy, you represent the people, Rob Kendall, and the people are not being supported by their leaders on a big scale.
Then what are the people in Congress who are Republicans supposed to do? What is
scream? Get on the TV tomorrow. Get on every program you could possibly get and say, I stand by the constituents, Rob.
And what does that mean? What does that mean?
It means you're sowing support.
For whom?
For us. For the base.
The fundraisers.
No, that's not how it works. They want to keep their jobs. And as long as they keep their jobs, there are at least some votes to fight against the Biden program. And wait a second. We don't even know the Biden program will be all bad. I mean, as far as I'm aware, we haven't seen much of the Biden program. And for all we know, it won't be that bad. I mean, I don't think the Bush program or the Trump programs have been strictly conservative programs either at all.
Yeah. What are your listeners, Rob, saying?
So I think about what happened here in Indiana, which is, again, this Republican governor who sided with Whitmer and the dude in Illinois and Beshear down in Kentucky. I mean, they all did the note together that, you know, if you go to Christmas dinner, there'll be an empty seat where grandma once sat, like Dickens. They were, you know, grandma becomes Tiny Tim. The Republican legislature.
That's very funny. You know, you're funny. You're funny, Robert. That's funny.
You like me, Ben, because you don't know me.
Funny. I thought you were funny. But,
The Republican legislature for 10 months did nothing, and they hid behind this thing where, well, only the governor can call a special session, so we'd love to help you out, but we just can't do anything. And their whole time, they're taking money from the taxpayers. They're getting paid for a year, even though they don't work year-round. There are no protests about the legislature. The Speaker of the House, who controls the budget, could have forced us, and we're choking off the money unless you call a special session. They're complicit in all of this. And conservatives, I get what Ben's saying, right? Until the Libertarian Party is ready to step up and lead as a collective, Republicans are still probably the only option. The difference is...
Why does everyone keep going to the Libertarians? It's like asking the crippled kid to go be the all-star on the soccer team.
I asked you not to talk about Mitch McConnell that way, but Rob, go.
And by the way, let me point out, I'm speaking at the State Libertarian Convention this year. They scraped the bottom of the barrel, and I'm one of the keynote speakers this year because I want to see the Libertarians do well. I think they can force the Republican Party to be better. But that being said, conservatives, it seems like when push comes to shove, always roll over for the establishment. They always roll over for the rank and file. Well, you can't win, so you got to do it our way. Well, wait a second. Our votes count as much as yours. Why don't you do it our way?
No, you're completely right.
You know, you guys are it's like you haven't seen reality. Reality is these people have prestigious jobs. They have big offices. They have air conditioning. They have cute girls come in to be summer interns or interns all during the year. They get to go to all kinds of nice parties where they pass out excellent sandwiches of rare roast beef. We have a good friend who goes to those parties.
Those heritage lunches are awesome.
And it's all a great life. And people bow and scrape to them. And when they leave office, they get a pension and they get to be lobbyists and get well paid. And their children get to go to Madeira or St. Albans or somewhere good. and they are and they're living great lives. And you expect them to change that on a matter of principle? You expect principle to take precedence over money, power, and prestige? What planet have you been living on?
But that the planet we're living on is the planet that got Trump elected in the first place, and that could possibly change this. Trump wouldn't have gotten elected had the common man and woman spoken up.
But if the common man and woman were offered the kind
and
of
you're asking us to shut up
senators
again.
Senators and congressmen yeah. have, they would do the same thing.
But my point is, you're basically saying to the Trump supporter, shut up.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying go absolutely demonstrate, write letters to the editor, file lawsuits, call Larry Klayman, file every lawsuit you possibly can, demonstrate peacefully, always peacefully, keep up those signs, but don't be violent and don't be surprised if the people you elect to Congress act like politicians, because that's what they are.
Hey, Judah, I think Ben touches on an interesting point, and that is, well, he didn't touch on it, but he inadvertently did, because Ben's brilliant, and he inadvertently touched on
it. No, it was inadvertent, I'm sure. Hey. I have an insect bite on my elbow, and that's, I think, what made me touch on the point inadvertently.
It's from the chicken.
The Republican Party, as a collective, never understood Trump guy. It's why Trump guy voted for Trump, but didn't vote down the ballot and didn't turn out in midterms, and never understood why Trump guy voted for Trump, and they never embraced it.
Well, they don't understand Trump represented something primal in the human condition, and that was what got him to be president. But that scared the, what shall we say, the hors d'oeuvre and rare roast beef sandwich Republicans. That scared them and scared the hell out of the Democrats, and they wanted to get rid of him, and they did.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. I want to tell a quick story quickly. My father, about 40 years ago, was probably more at this point, was the first observant Jew to ever work at Time Life. He made a decision to wear his yarmulke for his interview, because he said, what was I going to do every Friday? Come up with a lie and figure a way to get out of here early for the Sabbath. It was an amazing lesson I learned. And to bring that to modern day, I feel like we're at a time and place in history where we're walking around having to say out loud, especially because I've been doing research on dating apps. You have to say what party you belong
research
to.
Indeed. Research indeed.
Research indeed. But you have research. to say what party you belong to. You have to say what your beliefs are. You're wearing everything on a vest just because it's like
just women want to have sex. It's going to be
women have become like the super detectives on Google, and so you might as well just say out loud and walk around and say I'm a Trump supporter or I'm this, because it makes it less complicated later. Because as Remzo might know, we do live in a cancel culture. And Remzo, if you could please take us to a break.
Yes, I'd like to go ahead and read off something from our sponsor this half hour. Dating is hard, as Judah brought up, but it could be easier, especially if you just straight up tell people who you hate. That's why this episode of the show is brought to you by Leftover Match, leftovermatch.com. Just tell all the things that you hate about people. You don't want white men. You think children should be able to change their gender at age 5. You want to flood the country with people that are antithetical to our way of life. You want to go ahead and, pick and choose which terrorists you want your money to go to. You want a woman to make sure we're drone striking kids in Pakistan. Just talk about all the things you hate, and you'll be left with not your best match, but the leftovers. So leftovermatch.com, it's still a match.
Thank you, Remzo. Where can people
find us? Are you talking to me?
No, thank you, Remzo.
And I'd like to point out, he read that without taking a breath.
That was really good.
And he came up with it on the spot. And
very good. Very good.
Remzo, if you quickly tell people where they can find us.
Please go ahead and hit the bell icon on YouTube so you never miss an episode of the show. And please, you can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you can find podcasts on Al Gore's amazing internet. Hit subscribe so you never miss the show wherever you go.
And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. Take it off. And
I have to say, I had to do that? Because some horrible, disgusting insect bit me or stung me or something, and it's itching like crazy.
Stop talking about the IRS that way.
It's a horrible, horrible, horrible wound. It looks to me like a spider bite. It is a spider bite, and it is hurting like hell, and I'm suffering, but I'm not leaving the show until I've convinced you all to be good Republicans.
You're never going to convince us, Ben, because the Republican Party said to hell with you, and I'm saying back to hell with you. Mitch McConnell, Ben Sasse, Susan Collins, all these people that are going to vote to convict the president on impeachment, you know, they don't represent me. They don't represent us.
They don't represent me either, but they represent themselves.
They represent themselves. And
Ben, you look like you came out of the womb wearing a suit and tie.
I did not come out of the womb wearing a suit and tie, but I'm much older than any of you guys. When I went to college, the cool kids wore really nice clothes from Brooks Brothers or J Press. And I got a lot of sex in those days. And so I've decided that's what I'm going to wear from now on.
Thank you for the image. And yes, I will take Ben to my dermatologist who gives you a shot and gone goes the mosquito or spider bite. But, you know, Ben, it's a feeling of abandonment. And I get it, what you're saying. We shouldn't be surprised. This is who they are. This is the colors that they're showing. But every once in a while, you do get a glimmer of hope, Rob, with a person like Josh Hawley, with a few of these, with even with Rand Paul's or Ted Cruz's, who I have to be honest, I never thought I'd like Ted Cruz. I wasn't always a Ted Cruz guy. He has shown himself to be a stand-up fella. I know Remzo disagrees, Rob, but go for it.
Well, I love Ted Cruz, man. Oh.
For a guy whose dad allegedly killed Kennedy, he's turned out quite nice.
Yeah, the Zodiac Killer's wicked. Leave him alone.
And, well, so that's the serious question, right, is who is the next leader? Who is the next person? Because, and Ben can attest to this, right, one of the stroke of luck or divine intervention or whatever, the Republican Party has always had the leader they needed at the time they needed that person. And it's going to be interesting to see who that person is next.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And I was at an event not long ago where Tom Cotton, I think his first name is Tom, Senator Cotton spoke. He was right on every issue. Not a particularly good speaker, but boy, is he right on every issue. If we had a few more like him who are good speakers but right on every issue like Senator Cotton, we'd be all set.
I would rather castrate myself on live TV in front of a bus full of nuns than ever see Tom Cotton run for president.
And why? Why? That's a pretty serious statement.
Because
why?
He's never looked at a country on the map that he hasn't wanted to invade.
Well, maybe they deserve to be invaded.
Canada. Yeah.
He's a bit of a hawk, but and I know people in the audience are going to disagree with me, but Nikki Haley has I very surprisingly come out in defense of the president. I didn't think she
I like her. I've always I liked didn't, her. I've Rob, always liked her.
Rob, I didn't think she would be in the long haul like she has been, but she actually has. And I'm incredibly shocked by her behavior.
I think she's going to do great for us.
Rob?
She keynoted the fall Republican dinner here in Indiana in 2015. And she was like, hardcore, I guess you call her Never Trumper at that point. Man, I went to that speech, I wanted to puke. And it's amazing how what an ally she ultimately became. I think the big challenge for the Republicans is when they nominate right guy who communicates with the average person. Like Bush was a total elitist, but yet he sounded like a dude you'd want to have a beer with.
Because he could say nuclear.
I mean, like he just, you know, he was into baseball. He was, you know,
Well, that's why he won. People said they wanted to have a beer with him.
Because you fooled me once. Shame on me. You fooled me twice. You know the thing.
And Republicans, because I think Republicans get so caught up in like the scorecard policy-wise, where, okay, this person's a 9.5 as a conservative, kind of unlikable, doesn't connect with people. This person's only a 9, so we got to go with the 9.5. I think the challenge for the Republicans is to find that person that the average person connects with, because the average person really doesn't know that much about public policy.
Kid Rock.
And what, Ben, you actually brought up an interesting something before. We do know many of Biden's policy, and they don't talk to the common man, right? Biden.
Well, you tell me. Let's go through them policy by policy. Okay, I don't
He wants to get back into the Iranian.
I don't like that, of course.
Okay, he wants to join the Paris Accords. He wants to change all the trans stuff. He wants to impose trans law and trans rule on us. You know, who is it that he appointed today? The assistant they want stricter rules, stricter. I mean, Ben, we're going to be living in a society where it's like when we turn on Amazon or Netflix, all our recommendations are going to be black movies or trans movies or this in total. We know that they want to indoctrinate a culture of this type of thought, Ben.
Well, I'm not going to be watching that stuff. So
I know, but Ben, what about the people? Ben, I know, but you do have a granddaughter, Rob, and don't you think that is one of his?
I do have a granddaughter, and she's a wonderful girl.
And sadly, she's the one that's going to be turning on Amazon, on Netflix, on all these streaming services.
I don't think my son will let her.
Rob, what do you say?
Well, we talked about this today. It's amazing how many things you guys get to that we talk about.
I was listening to your show, Rob.
You have the pulse of the people, as does WIBC in Indianapolis. But it took me until about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, to understand the damage that the liberals have done by winning the war with public education. And look, I knew it was bad, but I guess it didn't on me because I grew up in a house where my dad, every day when I would come home, single parent household for much of my childhood, my dad lived with my dad. My dad every day would ask me, what'd you learn at school? And I'd tell him the stuff. And then he'd say, that's crap, that's crap, that's crap, and that's crap. And he'd tell me how it was supposed to be. And I guess just naively assumed.
He sounds like a great dad.
He was awesome. He's awesome, man. And I just naively assumed, well, okay, they're going to indoctrinate kids, but parents, especially in suburbia where you tend to have more of a nuclear family, they're gonna take care of some of this
nuclear.
And they're not, right? It's evident they're not. That kids are spending 12 to 16 years being completely indoctrinated by public
education. You're absolutely right. I think your dad had the right solution to that. I have a very close friend, and her daughter, who's like 9 or 10 or 11, I don't know exactly her age, she's always accusing her mother of being an ableist, because she favors some people running the track and track events who have two legs. I mean, she's able.
How else do you run?
I don't know. This is what they're taught in school today.
This is part of this is the biggest thing, this indoctrination. And Rob is right. We didn't just lose the public schools, Rob. We've lost every school. We have lost every single school, almost every single school imaginable. And the stuff they are teaching, the stuff they are indoctrinating us with, Joe Biden, Ben, BLM is going to be writing the curriculum.
And I think it's already happening in some schools. I think it's already happening in some schools. It's horrifying. Yeah. It's absolutely horrifying. What would you like me to say about that?
You
know my feelings about BLM.
Yeah, but no, but Ben,
I've
brought up
them many times.
Ben, you brought up what Biden's policies are, and those are going to be his de facto policies.
I hate if those are his policies, I'll be quite surprised because last time I checked, education was a local or state matter.
When it's allowed, when the government, you know, what was that thing that Trump was fighting for that didn't allow that in the public schools? The
1776 project.
The 1776 project, and he was fighting against it. He fought against certain things on, you know, that universities, remember, they're publicly funded. So as a government, you can cut off funding for certain things, like when Berkeley allows the assault of conservative speakers, you could cut their funding. And obviously that's not going to happen. The funding is going to stop at certain schools. Remzo, sorry, you didn't get enough on this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if I could snap my fingers and have things go my way, it's this. When I look at the country, I don't look at it from the way of which I want to see it. I see it as what it is. And what we are is what I think, and I think what we saw really on Election Day is what showed it. We're pretty socially conservative, despite what many people might say, but we're economically populist. And I don't think either party reflects that. I'm not even saying that's libertarian. It's not. I'm just saying I think that's what a lot of the American people are. They're socially conservative. They want to be left alone. They don't want to be told how to run their lives. They like families. They like keeping their jobs here, and they're economically populist. Do what's best for us. Give us stimulus checks. Bring jobs home, all that type of stuff. I think the best thing for Trump to do would be to form his own third party. The biggest winner in terms of the conservative movement is Ross Perot, 30 years later.
Judah, can I come back to something you said? Because I think it's spot on.
Please do, if it's spot on.
I never have any panel or show I'm on when I tell somebody they're spot on. They let me talk for as long as I want. It's a tact I learned very, very early on. but you talked about we haven't just lost the public education system, and that's so important. The political correctness, the cancel culture, and the fear is now indoctrinating and infesting the private school sector as well. And I mentioned there's a Catholic school here in Indianapolis called Ron Colley High School, and they're named after the Pope Ron Colley. And they chose the mascot in 1969, Rebel. It had nothing to do with the South. It had nothing to do with slavery or anything. It had to do with Ron Colley was recognized as a rebel for the work that he did in the Catholic Church at the time for the good of humanity. They came out this week with no pressure whatsoever from the student body, from the donor base, from the parents, and just arbitrarily decided we're changing our name to Royals. They've had the same name for 51 years and nobody asked them to change it, and they did it for no reason. We were flooded with phone calls of parents and donors and alumni who were outraged over this. There was no reason for them to do it. They're petrified. And when you start losing, as Judah said, private schools, that's a huge issue.
But you're talking now you really hit the nuclear bomb button. Because now you're talking about what's really happening in America, which is the endless ass-kissing of African-Americans and by other people who have no business being in the African-Americans business. It's like all of a sudden everyone's competing to say, I can ass-kiss the African-Americans more than you can. And the African-Americans, I assume, just want to earn their living and do their work and stay with their families like everybody else. And here are the white people appropriating their grievances. I don't get it. I mean, it's like, let's find some grievances and we can tell the black people that we're more for their grievance, we're for fighting their grievances than they are. This country has been all about ass-kissing African-Americans now for the last several years. And of course, I'm not insane. I think African-Americans are just as good as everyone else and should have as many rights as everyone else. But this insane ass-kissing of them is just muddies the waters about everything. Let's let them decide what they want. It shouldn't be up to us to decide what they want. Let's let them decide what they want.
I think
when it comes to picking and choosing who you're going to go ahead and appease more, I mean, that's politics everywhere. You know, in the mid-2000s, it was all about Mexican immigrants. When it was, in 2012, it was all about the gay community. And then, you know, the Republican Party does it the same. It's like, oh, you know, we'll vote for some of the pro-life stuff, but, you know, we need this giant omnibus bill to pass. So if we have to abort a million children in order to make sure that Lockheed Martin gets their contract, we got to do it, man. We got to do it. They got to take one for the team.
You couldn't be more right. But in this case, what we're having is the exact opposite of what America is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be a racialist country. We're supposed to be a country in which people are treated equally, no matter what their races are. Now we've become a country where everything is decided on the basis of race. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to be.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. And everything I've learned comes from Ben Stein. I just wasn't in D.C., so I have a little bit more anger, but every single thing I know about history and politics comes from Ben Stein, and I'm truly appreciative of that. I've just been the greatest teacher of all time, and I wish everybody, and that's the whole point of this sometime, can get the education that I've been given freely.
Well, you're very kind, sir.
And with love.
Very kind, sir.
And,
very kind,
sir. But I also want to bring up that Mike Lindell got canceled from about six or seven massive chains today.
Who is you're kidding? That's the best pillow in the world.
The MyPillow guy.
That's the absolutely most wonderful pillow that's ever been invented. That pillow is a miracle gift from God. It's unbelievable. That's incredible. I didn't know that, Judah.
Yeah, he got canceled by Bed Bath. No, I'm not. By Bed Bath and Beyond.
That pillow is like the best pillow there's ever been.
Ben, remember, it's not about profits anymore. It's not about the best product anymore.
It's about, that pillow is about helping people be healthy and get a decent night's sleep. It's unbelievable that they would be deprived of that incredibly great pillow. That's
you know what's unbelievable is that Mike Lindell hasn't hired you as his TV spokesperson.
I'm sure he has no idea of my existence. That pillow is incredible.
But on that note, Renzo.
Ben, it's Mike Lindell. Thank you for doing that for absolutely no money.
I didn't get a penny. I'm sure he has no idea of my existence.
Renzo, on that note.
We have a new sponsor for this episode. Are you afraid of the MyPillow guy helping a former president declare martial law? The first thing you should do is make sure that he can never make a single solitary dollar again. That's why Bed Bath & Beyond Kohl's are bringing a new pillow partner. It's called Hate Pillow, made entirely by Uyghur Muslim slaves owned by Tim Cook and Jeff Bezos in China. Hate Pillow. At least it's not Mike Lindell.
I have Judah. Were you kidding about the pillow?
No, Ramsell just brought it up. Kohl's, Bed Bath and Beyond, and quite a few other places cut it off. And they said, and here's the thing: I love this is always the go-to answer. And I want to welcome everybody back, but this is always the go-to answer. As we're reshuffling products, the MyPillow isn't as popular as the other ones. As you know, of course, they never show us data. They're just showing us. I mean, if the guy could afford as many commercials as he's doing and be on all the time, I'm pretty sure his pillow is selling to a lot of people.
I cannot wait to hear them say.
It is impossible to try that. And as I say, he wouldn't know me if he woke up in the middle of the night and I was standing over him with a flashlight on my face. It is impossible to try that pillow without loving it. And the idea that the stores would deprive people of a decent night's sleep over some ideological nonsense is really very sad.
And can we talk about the humanity of Ben Stein, the guy who uttered arguably one of the most famous lines in movie history, who everyone knows and everyone loves that movie? Oh, he wouldn't know me if I walked past him.
Oh, you're very kind. You're very kind.
Yeah, Ben, come on. I mean, we were sitting on a plane when Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top turned around to you and said, I'm a huge fan of yours, sir. Okay.
ZZ freaking top.
I think Mike Lindell knows who you are. Okay.
Well, God bless him.
And this isn't to make your spider bite feel better, but I want to welcome everybody back to the world according to Ben Stein.
Brought to you by Hate Pillow.
And I just want to say, in my humble opinion, the President Trump is the best foreign policy president we've had in over 40 years. I think he surpasses Reagan. I think what he tried to do and tried to accomplish, so I am eternally grateful for President Trump's handling of the economy, of foreign policy. Ben, what about you?
I think he's been an outstanding president. It's interesting, when he first was inaugurated, I listened to his press conferences about the economy and my blood ran cold. Oh, this guy is really, really dangerous. But I think he turned out to do a great job. And I don't think anyone could have done a better job about the economic effects of the pandemic. I don't think any Democrat, any Republican, anyone could have done a better job. I just don't get what they could have done that would have been better. I mean, we're running stupendous, terrifyingly large deficits. They're going to come back and bite us in the ass, something fierce eventually. But we were facing another Great Depression. President Trump warded that off. He did it fearlessly. He gets no credit for it at all. He deserves a lot of credit. If there are Americans who are making their rent and their mortgage payments and paying for their children's and their wives and their husband's groceries tonight, thank Mr. Trump and thank Mr. Mnuchin and Larry Kudlow and all those people who formulated such great economic policy.
And I got to say, this is what I love about Ben. He absolutely changed his mind on all of those people. Because there was a day before Trump got elected that Ben was on CNN that the car ride home was not very comfortable with us because I wasn't happy how he spoke about, but Ben has literally changed his opinion on almost everything regarding President Trump from the day he took office. And that is what separates Ben Stein from the Bill Kristols of the world, from the George Wills of the world, from all of those people in the ivory tower that couldn't get out of their own way, Ben. So I salute you. I truly
very
do.
Kind.
Because
you're
it
very kind.
It takes a human to be able to do that. What about you, Rob? I know you met him. And you've been telling everybody that for 4.5 years. But what about you? What are you grateful for?
Well, I posted this today. I posted a picture of me interviewing Trump. And you know, I will say that's one of the 5 most significant days of my life. One, because you met the guy who was the president. You got a chance to interview the guy who was the president. But I think I've told you this before. It's what we talked about afterwards. It's that he had other things to do. He had just met me. And we sat there and talked for about 15 minutes, no microphones on, no cameras on. We just sat there and talked. And I told him when we got done, I said, if people saw this side of you, and it's the side that world leaders see, it's the side that his cabinet sees, I said, they would have a totally different opinion of you. And the one thing that he told me, and it's the reason I have the job I have today, and I stayed in radio and I saw it through, was he said, follow your dreams. If you're up in the air, you're young, go for it because you will regret not doing it. And I'll tell you what, that dude has inspired so many people and he has done so much good in his life. He has created so many jobs. He didn't need this gig, man. And he may have destroyed his life and he destroyed the life of his family and it'll end up costing him hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. Those are the patriots that the founders envisioned when they put this country together. And it's sad because history used to correct these sort of things. You know, what we thought of somebody in the moment, they'd get it right later. They're not because they hate him so much. That dude was a hero and a patriot, and God love him, man.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Rems
totally up. Agree. And may I add, it's right out of 1984. Who controls the present controls the past. Who controls the past controls the future. And we are now seeing that happen in spades. It's a very, very, very dangerous situation. And this is why it is called. We are all called upon to tell the truth, to tell the truth, to tell the truth. It may be that we're going to be spat on. It may be that people are going to yell at us, kick us, vandalize our cars. We have to tell the truth. I mean, if we have to tell the truth, people ask me, what are we going to do to help with the conservative cause? Tell the truth. That's it. Tell the truth.
Remzo, you know, that's perfectly said, both of you. Remzo, I know you weren't always a supporter, but I know he did some things that you did like.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't vote for him in 2016, but like Ben, I looked at this and it's like, listen, here are all the things I'm afraid of. Have him prove me wrong. And he did it. He actually did it. That's why he earned my vote in 2020. And I was proud to do it. And I do it again because
I would do it again too.
Yeah.
Without question.
And he never got credit for anything ever. And I remember one time I'm watching him in 2018, the Syria debacle as to what to do if Assad was confusing a lot of people. Eventually he got Putin and the Russians to pull out, you know, dealt with that situation from turning into World War III. And that was the first time somebody had nominated him for a Nobel Peace Prize. And somebody, I think it was Jim Acosta, was like, you know, people are saying you've been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Do you think you deserve it? And Trump looked at him as he's walking out and he's like, peace is the prize.
Oh, very, like good. He good. Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
He gets no credit for that.
I'm sorry. I must add, today is his last full day in office. He is a peacemaker. He is a peacemaker right out of the Bible. He moved for the world. He moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem, a biblical injunction, and he followed it. No other president had the cojones to do it. He did it. He is a peacemaker. No other president except Nixon was more of a peacemaker than Donald Trump. There's no credit for it at all. No other president was less of a racist than Trump, and yet these imbeciles on TV call him a racist. He does not have a racist cell in his whole body. They don't know what they're talking about. It's terrifying that they are now in positions of power. This man deserves many, 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 many thanks from history and from my granddaughter.
He had two jobs. He wanted to make America great again, and he built us the greatest economy I've seen in my lifetime. I'm 26, and he was going to expose the deep state and the swamp. He succeeded at both. He did in one term what most people don't do an entire lifetime.
He did it in his first year. He did what most people don't do.
And he should be proud, and he should be proud.
I just want to get to one last thing, because I promised Remzo we would get to this. So, you know, Trump's been pardoning people, and, you know, Trump's been you know, I hope he declassifies a lot more before he goes to bed tonight. I hope he declassifies a lot. And I'm sure he's holding on to a few cards to make sure that he doesn't get into trouble afterwards. But one of the things that we were discussing before the show was Jeffrey Epstein. So I want to end the show.
But this is serious.
So I want to end the show on Remzo and Ben both believe Epstein was murdered. Rob?
Well, it's pretty convenient how he went down, right? Imagine the luck.
Yeah, imagine the luck when he knew all about these incredibly important people and young girls, and somehow by himself in a small cell managed to hang himself. Unbelievable, incredible. Not since Vince Foster has there been a more obvious scam about suicide.
Oh my God, I didn't even know you thought that, Ben. About Vince Foster. I'm learning something new.
Vince Foster totally didn't kill himself.
And Larry Klayman's not here, and the truth is being spoken with in Larry Klayman's name. But is there anybody else you wanted him to pardon? Is there anything else you wanted him to do on his last day? He gave a great farewell speech. Obviously we all wish he could be here for another 4 years. Anything else you guys want to add on before we go?
God help us for the way we treated him. God help us as a nation for the way we treated this man who did.
And that they're going to treat him. And let's pray for him. Let's pray for him, his family, and his supporters.
My wife and I do that every night.
Yeah, because Lord knows, Rob, the people that are listening to your show every day and calling in are scared crapless right now. They are probably,
And this is what I tell people is, because look, I'm in the business of saying an opinion. So until they get the FCC, I'm still going to be able to go because our ratings are great. So until the FCC takes us down, we'll be here. The real people that are going to be the patriots and heroes in this are the people like the MyPillow guy, are the people like President Trump, who have millions, if not billions of dollars on the line, the small business owner who will be willing to step up and potentially lose business over it. And I tell people, just remember what the founders gave up to put this country together. You know, we don't hear enough of those stories that we hear about the lives that were lost, but the treasures, the fortunes, the history, their family members, they gave up so much. You know, Nathan Hale, the only regret I have is but one life to give for my country. That they risked it to get here. You got to risk a little bit again. At least it's monetary in most cases now. And I hope people are willing to step up.
And don't forget to add Ben Stein to that list, because Ben Stein never took the easy way out. He's been giving his opinion on things for over 40 years. He's been speaking his mind. It's hurt his career. It's brutally hurt his career. He's lost speeches because of this. He's lost gigs because of this, because he spoke his mind and he was honest. He was honest and told the truth. And I can't think of a more patriotic thing. So everybody that's listening, Ben, we all disagree with, but Ben has literally lost millions of dollars supporting speaking the truth. And Ben, like Rob said, you are an American hero and an American patriot. And it's an honor and a privilege to know you, sir.
Honor and privilege to work with you and to know you, sir, and all of you guys. And my closing remarks for Trump's last day, liberals, stop patronizing people just because they're not white. They have brains too. You don't need to lead them around like they were sheep.
Thank you, Ben. You're 100% right. And Remzo, if you could please tell people where they could find us.
But when you've bought your hate pillow made by child slaves and you're swiping left on leftovermatch.com, deciding who you hate more, please go ahead, subscribe to the channel. We're here every Tuesday and every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. What else do you have going on? Netflix isn't that entertaining. And please, a 5-star rating and review on iTunes costs you 20 seconds, helps us out so much. Wherever you can find us on Al Gore's amazing internet, share it with a friend. save the world.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Rob Kendall, host of 93.1 BAM, FM, BAM, the future of conservative talk radio. And Rob, I truly believe you are the future of conservative talk radio. We know certain people won't be there much longer, and I pray to God you're one of those that take his mantle. Remzo Martinez, on the run with Remzo, not on the runs. And of course, let's thank America's humble servant, Benjamin, Jeremy, Stein. Do you have a song to take us out tonight, or you're good?
Wait. If you miss me in the back of the bus, you can't find me nowhere. Oh, come on over to the voting booth. I'll be voting right there. I'll be voting right there. I'll be voting right there. Oh, come on over to the voting booth. I'll be voting right there.
And on that note, we'll see you Thursday.